This Sunday, we are back in the season of ordinary time. Easter having ended last week with the beautiful solemnity of Pentecost. But for the next couple weeks, we're still going to wear white at Mass on Sunday because we have some special feast. And today is an interesting one, in that it is the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Now, it's interesting that we would have a feast in honor of the Trinity. We have lots of feasts in honor of Jesus. And last week, we celebrated the Holy Spirit. And every Mass is offered to God the Father. So, to some extent, I mean, every Mass is a celebration of the Trinity. But on this special Sunday, we take a little bit of time just to reflect on this ultimate mystery. And a mystery is something that, ultimately, it's hard to describe. We can't fully explain it. And certainly that's true of the Holy Trinity. The word mystery itself comes from the Greek word muao, from which we would get the English word mute, the same root that means to be silent. We can't speak about it. This is why right after the priest consecrates the Eucharist, he says, the mystery of faith. And then it actually says the priest doesn't say the rest with you, because literally the priest is saying, in the midst of this mystery, what can I do but remain silent? How do we speak about it? And I think that is a particularly interesting challenge if you're going to talk about the Holy Trinity. How do we talk about what is ultimately a mystery? I'm one of the most famous people in the history of the church to ever write about the Trinity was St. Augustine. He wrote an entire big, thick volume on the Trinity called De Trinitate, on the Trinity. So if anyone is to be considered perhaps an expert on the Trinity, it would be St. Augustine. But as he was trying to write this book on the Trinity, he was having great difficulty. Every time he would get started and he would write something, it would make sense, and then he'd read it and was like, no, that's not the Trinity, and was really struggling and was going to give up the whole project. When one day he was, as it's told, the story, he was walking by the shore of the sea, and there he saw a little boy who had been digging a hole in the sand and was going to the ocean and cupping his hands and taking some of the water from the ocean, and then he would run back to his little hole and drop the water. And he would go back and forth, each time taking a handful of water from the ocean and putting it to this hole that he had dug on the shore. And Augustine saw this and it puzzled him, and he wondered, what is he doing? And so he asked the boy, what are you doing? He's like, I'm putting the ocean into this hole over here. And Augustine kind of laughed and said, young boy, you will never be able to fit the ocean into this hole on the shore. Supposedly the boy said to St. Augustine, and neither will you ever be able to understand fully the mystery of the Trinity. And then the boy vanished. Supposedly that is a true story. But whether or not it's true or not, it certainly speaks to us of what a great challenge it would be to try to describe the Trinity. And there are many ways that we could do it theologically, but one of the ways that I think makes most sense to me is one that Augustine himself came up with, and that is to describe the Trinity as a communion of love. Ultimately, we say all the time, God is love. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes people say that to me. What is God? Well, God is love. And then they just kind of leave it at that, and it kind of leaves me feeling like, okay, do I really know more than what I knew before? And what does it mean to say God is love? Well, more than ever, I think today, we need this image of the love in the Trinity to help our society to really reclaim what love is all about. Because you see, in order to have love, we need God to be more than just a singularity. You can't love just by yourself. You need someone to love. You need love in the first place. And that's ultimately what Augustine thought the best way to describe the mystery of the Trinity was. He said the Trinity begins with the Father, who then loves the Son. They're both real people, pure spirit, but real people. The Father loves the Son, and he does so in such a way that he holds nothing back. He gives himself completely in love, because love, as St. Paul reminds us, is not selfish. It does not boast in itself, but rather it's diffusive of itself. It wants to make a gift. And so the Father gives all that he has to his Son. And Jesus, receiving the love of the Father, returns all that love unselfishly to the Father. And the love between them then is so real, so tangible, that in fact it becomes a new life, a new person, the Holy Spirit. So Augustine would describe it as there is the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. Now that is obviously still kind of just an analogy, because we don't have language to describe what is ultimately indescribable, but that's a pretty good start. To some extent, we could say the Trinity is about love. It's about a communion of love. John Paul II would later write a famous letter to families in which he would make note of this and say that in Christianity, the Trinity is so important because we recognize that we are the religion whose God is ultimately a family. The Trinity is the root of the love of the family. Because if you look at a family, what do you have? You have a husband who, in image of the Trinity, gives himself completely to his bride, holding nothing back, unselfishly, making a permanent gift. The bride, receiving all the love of the husband, returns that love. And God willing, the love between them is so real that 9 months later, you have to give it a name. It's become another person, as you see the love between husband and wife become incarnate in their children. The family is meant, therefore, to be an image of this love. So while the Trinity might be confusing, and we might wonder, what is it really like? If we want to really know what is the Trinity like, we have to look at our families, hopefully. This is why, ultimately, the church takes marriage so seriously. Because marriage isn't just something that we created or that we decide what it means or what we want it to be. Rather, marriage is the sacramental, unique sign on earth of what we ultimately can't see or understand in heaven. I don't know what it means sometimes to say God is love. But hopefully we can look at the love between a husband and wife and say, well, it's a little bit like that. Or we see the way husband and wife have a family and have children together. Their love becomes another person. And we can say that's a little bit of what it means to say the Father and the Son have their Holy Spirit. Still a mystery, but it makes it more concrete. And the church, therefore, takes it very seriously because ultimately we're saying if we lose what marriage is all about, we lose one of the surest signs we have of what God is all about. In the love of a family, we should see the love of God. Now, if your family is like my family, sometimes that doesn't work so well, because ultimately our earthly families are not God. And we're supposed to be signs of God, but we know we do it in a fallen way. So we see that all over our society today, how broken we are in our families. So in a special way on this Trinity Sunday, I ask that we all pray for families, especially, that each of you might be a better image of the love of God. Husbands loving their wives, wives loving their husbands, children being obedient to, listening to your parents, growing in wisdom and knowledge. That's the great image of God. We have the great blessing today to be able to celebrate the sacrament of baptism during this Mass. Little Haley today is going to become an adopted daughter of God. Notice we use the family language to speak of what it means to belong to Jesus. We become part of his family. What a great honor it is for all of us in our baptism to be able to claim God as our Father. Not some distant power, generic on a mountain or thunder and lightning, but our Father. Jesus, our Savior and our brother. We use family language because we can't be Christian alone. Little Haley does not join in today in some isolated relationship with Jesus. Rather, she's too young to even know what's going on today, really. It's because of the faith of her family, her godparents who are promising to be there to raise her Catholic, that she joins this Catholic family today and becomes a child of God. We need family, our natural families, but also the family of God, especially as we see it here at Curia of Ars and our parish family. Families have fun together, and you know, last night I had so much barbecue that I thought I was going to explode. But in some unique way, that's what family is about too. If you were at the barbecue this weekend, I think you saw a little bit about how Curia of Ars is really a family. That's what we're called to be. Not isolated Christians, me and Jesus, as if we could do it on our own. But we all need each other. We can't just run from one parish to the next and say, well, I liked that homily here, and I didn't like it this weekend, so I'll try that place, and then I'll go there. That's not what the church gives us as a model of a parish. A parish is supposed to be the place that is your family. And while maybe priests would come and go, that this is your home. And I pray on this Trinity Sunday as well that our family here at Curia of Ars would continue to be strengthened. We are all members of the body of Christ, but uniquely localized here in our parish. May the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, God our Father who loves us, may he bless our family, that here at Curia of Ars, we too might be a great image of the love of the Trinity. That if people want to know what the love of God looks like, maybe they can look at us after we wipe the barbecue away from our face, but maybe look at us and say, if you want to know what the love of God is like, his family, maybe you can look at Curia of Ars. May God bless all our families this weekend and make us more beautiful images of his Trinitarian love.